Blog Talk Radio.
What's on? Oh, it's there.
Good evening and welcome to the Transformation Cafe. We're a group of just fun-loving people wanting to come together to share all the positive influences that are happening on the planet, taking a spiritual perspective and keeping it light and fun. And we always like to start with appetizers and have things being light going into our main menu. Today we're going to be talking about stress. We had a guest on last week, Stacy, and she did an exercise with us and helped us to kind of work through some different levels of getting in contact with our body and feelings and things like that. So we're going to do a little follow-up on that. But first of all, we have a great little appetizer. Mr. Al Diaz is back with us. Hi, Al.
Hello there.
Hi,
How
Al.
Are you doing?
Hello. What's for dinner?
What's for dinner? Well, we're going to talk about stress tonight. Stress for dinner. How about that? You know, hopefully it's not fast food. You're not shoving it down your throat. You know, you can like take your time and enjoy it. Okay.
Absolutely.
And Kathy, can you introduce yourself, please?
Oh, hi, I'm Kathy Elliott, and I'm the switchboard person on the radio show tonight. I am an author of children's books and children's songs, and you'll be seeing my books this Christmas.
Okay, great. And I am Robin Masevich. I am a florist by day and a spiritual seeker by night. And one of the things I love to talk about is flowers and spirituality of flowers and how they speak to us on multiple levels with flower code and also flower wisdom. And I'd love to speak to you guys on that if you guys like and hold it. But we have Mr. Al Diaz in the house. And Al is a novel writer. He's got a couple different books under his sleeve already here. And Al is a wonderful presenter. I had the privilege of seeing him live and in person when we went to Kauai and had an inspirational expo, and got to be a part of that. So, Al, why don't you kind of give us an update on what happened on the Big Island? He got back over there not very, 2 weeks ago?
I just got back about 8 days ago.
8 days ago, so not even 2 weeks. Okay, so tell us what happened over there.
Well, besides, and it's a good thing we're talking about stress here, it's funny because, as you just mentioned, we had just gotten back from Hawaii, and then like a couple of days afterwards, a sponsor of an expo on the Big Island asked me to go back to the Big Island when I had just been there, and then the executive director contacted me and said, "Hey, why don't you come?" And I'm going, I was just there, and I don't know about all the expenses and everything, but anyway, so we worked it out, and I ended up flying out on a Friday morning, got there Friday afternoon, drove everywhere to get all my props and everything that was required because I went by myself. I got up early Saturday morning, set up my booth, and at 1 p.m. I had my presentation. The expo was pretty busy, and when I came out of the expo, I saw Neil Donald Walsh signing his books. So I bought a book, and I went up to him, and I said, you are part of the reason why I'm at where I'm at today. And he looked up at me, and he goes, "What a gentle thing to say." I said, "Thank you." And we talked for about maybe 45 seconds, and because there was a line of people, getting their book signed. And I managed to get around the table that he was sitting at because I asked him if I could take pictures with him. We took several, including one where we were looking at each other's eyes. And that was pretty awesome in itself.
Mm-hmm.
I went back to the booth, spent the day there, and then at 6 o'clock when the expo was over, we went to a VIP reception. And again, I took some more pictures with him. We got to talk again maybe another 2 minutes. And then he had to talk to the rest of the people. Then I went to his presentation. Now, his presentation was inspirational. There were probably about 400 to maybe 500 people. It was outside under the stars. And it was great. I mean, it was phenomenal. He spoke for 2 hours. And then by the time I got home that evening, it was about 10 or 10:30. I got up early again Sunday morning, did the whole expo thing. And networked with a lot of people because it was slower that day. And then that evening, I had a ceremony at the people that were hosting me. We had a ceremony that evening. And then Monday, I got to relax a little bit. Monday evening, I had a workshop at Kona Stories. And Tuesday morning, I flew back. So talking about stress, I was going nonstop. days.
Wow.
But
okay.
It was worth it.
So with that, how did you handle that, Al? How did you handle the stress? What are some of the tools that you've learned that helped you to walk through all those levels of things that could have totally freaked you out and said, I can't do this, but yet you found your inner balance to be able to just keep moving forward?
You know, the one thing that kept me going was the focus. I knew why I was there. It wasn't about making money. It wasn't about notoriety. It wasn't about it was about delivering the message. That was number one. And number two was making a connection with Neil Donald Walsh. And
okay, cool.
Those are the two. So I stayed focused on that. I was determined to fulfill those two things. And it happened.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about to ask Neil Donald Walsh to appear on my radio show, and I'm trusting that he's going to say yes. And then as far as delivering the message, I mean, I sold several books, and people were coming up to me and hugging me and the whole bit. So the message was delivered. That kept me going.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't eating properly because I didn't have time to eat. I was just eating a bunch of nuts because I was so busy.
So you're just nutty while you're in Hawaii, right?
Yeah, there you go. I will admit though, when I got back, I was exhausted. I didn't get in until 12:30 at night, and then I had to get up at 5:30 the next morning. So it took me like 3 days to recover.
Mhm. That's so cool. That's so cool. Did you mind sharing a little bit about what Donald talked about though when you went to his presentation?
He has a book, and I can't think of the name. Wait a minute. Yes, I can. I got to look at my library here. He's got
You've got quite the library too. I've been in Al's office, and let me tell you, he's got like at least three bookcases just full of just all kinds of wonderful books.
Thank
you.
His book is that's weird. It's about change. That's weird.
It's about transformation. Okay, no.
No, this is weird. I'm supposed
What's
it
to called?
Confess it. But yeah, his book is about here it goes. When change happens, know how to transform change or how to maneuver change. And
okay.
And that's what
how
it's
to transform
about.
Change. There you go. Transforming change.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm telling you, he was very inspiring. I have seen some pretty great speakers, and I would put him in an equal level as Wayne Dyer.
Okay.
Well, that's
how long has he been writing like that? He's been writing that way for what, 3 decades?
For a while.
Yeah, it's been at least 20 years.
Yeah, it's been
a while. I would say at least 20.
Wow.
Yeah. Just
but
amazing.
It looks like
he's
moving away from, and I don't want to speak on his behalf, I'm just going with what I observed,
right.
But it looks
right.
like he's moving away from the Conversations with God series.
Yeah.
And he came out with this new book and dealing with change.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you've been that much in depth with the questioning, I think after a while it just comes from a place of the knowing.
Right.
You know, you get to a place where you no longer are asking. You're basically just in that flow of, you know, a level of communication that just, it just feels so right that, you know, it's just, you're getting it and you just say, yeah, this is exactly what needs to be said. So he's just a conduit for God now. He's just basically, just a transmitter.
Yeah, he's a great individual, and I'm telling you, we made a lot of eye-to-eye contact, even though we didn't verbally talk maybe 4 minutes at the most between the two of us, but the hour or so that we were around each other, it was very noticeable that him and I were making a lot of eye-to-eye contact, and other people noticed it. So I'm relying on that. To some degree, that's going to get him to appear on my radio show.
Cool, very good. Well, I mean, you know, it's so telling when you really look into someone's eyes. It can be really present with them. There's a difference
totally
between
agree.
Looking and really, yeah. There's a difference between gazing and really looking. It's kind of the reason I loved Avatar because it's like I see you.
Right.
You know, that whole phrase, I see you, and it's really it's interesting to see how people are utilizing that on so many ways now. That, you know, and just embracing a lot of different things, people connecting to things. So that's very, very cool. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on, too. How's the show doing?
The show is doing really great. Really great. We're enjoying our conversations. We're getting all kinds of really wonderful ideas. Before we got on the air, Al was offering to get us connected to a bunch of people who might be wanting to come on and just share their ideas and perspectives on what's happening on the planet, and we're really excited about that. So we're just really just kind of sitting with whatever spirit's wanting the show to be and just kind of dedicating it to that purpose and seeing what happens with it. And that's kind of just the fun of the whole thing. You know, it's I don't really feel like we're in charge. We're basically just providing a vehicle for things to come through the show and have them go out into the world and be transformed. There you go.
I'm missing the clanging of dishes.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, we've got that kind of going on. It's pretty good we're not breaking dishes tonight, so that's good. And, you know, we have kind of more of an intimate group tonight. It's Kathy, you, and I, so that's kind of nice. You know, you get to be with a couple of cute chicks, so that's your lucky man.
Oh, there you go.
I know. This is okay. You know, that's okay.
Right on?
Yeah, right on. That's okay.
Now, let me ask you ladies something, and I'm going to ask Kathy first. How do you handle stress?
Sugar. I'm working on that.
That's hilarious. Oh, that is hilarious. Well, you know, honesty, you know, so that's to each his own, I guess. How about you, Robin?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I think of who I used to be and who I am now, and I kind of go, wow. Moving really helps me. I love to walk. And just kind of work out energy that's inside me, you know, how that goes. Sometimes you feel like you got so much stuff going on, moving to help to kind of get that. Sometimes driving in the car, it helps me to de-stress. And just really being in the present moment. I mean, I've heard of several different people talking about stress not that long ago. And actually, I was listening to a conversation with this one woman who has chronic pain, and she was talking about how even with her pain, she'll look to other things in her life and say, this is good. You know, she might be having like, you know, we're having a great conversation and enjoying the fact that that's a part of her moment right now, and she's enjoying that and really kind of looking and just really slowing things down just a little bit and just saying, you know, look what I have in front of me, and living more in a place of awe about the world and what's in front of me and not taking so much for granted. You know, it's the kind of that whole thing of the power of gratitude. And how it just really is such a thing that we can just be a force for good, and you know, and loving what's here and being able to appreciate it. I think it just helps you to really look at everything and slows you down, and you can, you know, take a breath. You know, breathing is so important too when you have stress. Being able to catch your breath, because sometimes you're not breathing. You know, sometimes ask yourself, am I breathing right now? I need to breathe.
I don't want to take over your show, but let me ask you this.
No, that's good. You go for it, buddy. Go ahead.
Is stress necessary?
It's the LDS Cafe show tonight.
Is stress necessary?
Pardon?
Is stress necessary?
No, I feel that that's what I was going to say. I'm choosing a stress-free life now. It's not necessary. And actually, I think in 2010, I haven't experienced a stress-free moment at all, or a stressful moment at all. It's fabulous. And Robin's right. It's about being in gratitude and loving what comes up, loving the energies and the challenges that arise, and being able to incorporate them. I haven't been stressful at all. We lost Robin. So,
okay,
how about you?
Should we start stressing right about now?
Yeah. More sweating bullets. Hey, you know what? I'll just hold on a minute. I have to order dessert.
That's hilarious. You know, and the funny part is that there was a time, and I remember when I started my own radio show, and little things like this would happen, and I break out in a sweat. You know? And I'm thinking, now what do I do? Oh, I remember one time my PC crashed right in the middle of my show. And I could talk to the person on the phone, but my PC, so I couldn't see my switchboard. I went, oh, no. So I went out and bought a laptop, you know.
Good reason.
Yeah, so I could have a backup in case my PC ever crashed, and I have my laptop to back me up. But, stress is a waste of time for me.
Yeah, me too. It's not worth it. And Robin's back.
I'm back. Talk about stress. Okay, there we go.
I said, well, so what are you trying to do? Put us in a stress?
So So I'm sitting here talking to you, and I'm like, my cat is trying to get my attention, and I'm like, no, I'm in my, I'm talking on the phone, I'm doing my show. She knocks over my other phone, and it goes out, right? So I have to find my other phone, and I'm like, okay, no stress here. We're just gonna move on and find the other phone. It's good. Off the chat. You were talking about technical difficulties, you know. Mine's a big Persian cat. So there you go, technical difficulties.
And ordered dessert.
So it's okay. Yeah, I'm back.
Now the stress just went away, right?
Yes, exactly. Well, you know, and I think, you know, part of stress, too, is just I had my daughter's had a friend that his mom had brain surgery about 3 weeks ago. And yesterday morning, she was out at the post office, and she passed out and had gone to emergency. He didn't find out about it till later in the day because they're both going to college. And it was so interesting watching him because my daughter had asked to go over and be with him because he was just in this, you know, it just was in a crazy place, you know, because, you know how it is when you can't do anything for somebody. They didn't want to be there. And that's pretty much where he was. Yeah. And it was a matter of he hadn't eaten for quite a while, and he was just beside himself and all that. And, you know, it's just that motive. You just kick in, and you just, I could tell by looking at him that he hadn't eaten and that he was just in this place of not really catching himself. He was really out of his body and needed to get back in his body. So got him some food, and we took him outside, and I had him sit on the ground and, you know, just do a couple things. It didn't take very long for him to get back in his body, but it was very interesting because he wasn't there. He wasn't there. So just little things like that you can tell with people, you know. And I was reminding him that, you know, you need to take care of yourself so you can be there for your mom. Because if you're not, you know, keeping yourself healthy, that's not going to help other people around you. And it's like the old story of you're in the airplane and, you know, you've got to put the oxygen mask on yourself first before you can help somebody else. So, you know, that's just been kind of an age-old story that just keeps coming back. So it's a good metaphor. It's a good metaphor.
You know, a question that I asked and that you probably didn't hear is stress necessary?
Absolutely.
Wow. Why do you say that?
Absolutely. Well, we have good stress and we have bad stress. You know, we have the stresses of, I mean, the good stress we have is the fight flight. We need that. We really couldn't drive a car without it. You know, a lot of the natural functions of your body need to have a certain level of stress to be able to know that, you know, because we're basically, you know, coming from blood pressure and just all the different, you know, levels of frequencies and energies and stuff that are pulsating through us on a constant level. All that is being activated and released through a level of what we call and we identify it as stress. So, you know, there's just lots of different things about the goods and bad things of being able to do stuff. So, you know, it's kind of a duality. You know, we can't really have one without the other. But it's a matter of do I fight the stress or do I allow myself to be with it and let it go through me sometimes? Do I make it a friend or do I have it a foe? You know, and I think that's the one thing for having things in our life that we have stress. Because I was noticing it the other day. I had gone to Disneyland on Sunday, and I can remember not even a year ago, I would go to Disneyland, and if it were really crowded, I could not be there. The amount of people and just being in crowds and stuff like that would just be too much for me, and I'm just like, I just don't really want to be here. But yet, when we were there on Sunday, I just thought of myself, it was almost like the weather. It's like, you know, there's things around me, and can I control them? No. And it's almost like the wind. Could I stop the wind or have it be something? I could put a coat on, or I can, you know, get into an area where it's not blowing on me so much. But can I stop it? No, I can't stop it. But there's ways that I can make sure that I'm getting what I need and it's still going to do what it does. So it's just like people, you know, there will be a lot of people in a certain area. I can go around that and yet know that everybody's meant to be there because there's a sense of divine order on things. So a lot of it's perspective, you know, when it comes to a sense of like, is this good stress or bad stress? It's the way you're looking at something. You know, like I said, can I soften that and make it a friend as opposed to make it something that I'm fighting? Anytime you fight something, it's going to be that much more of a challenge.
You're the first person I ever heard that say there's such a thing as good stress.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, if you look at Buddhism and Zen and things like that, they would say the same thing in practices of yoga. There's going to be certain levels of stress. It's like some of the exercises in yoga would be you would fully tense up your body and create that stress.
But when you relax, it's that much deeper of a relaxation because your body has known the opposite. You know, and that's a good way of feeling stress. It's like when you do if you're familiar with a body scan, you go from the top of your head all the way down, and you know, okay, I'm gonna tighten all my face muscles, and I'm gonna relax my face. You automatically know that there's gonna be a different level of relaxation and awareness in your body. And if you do that all the way down your body, you're gonna feel a difference on that because you've tensed it and then allowed it to relax to a different level.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's very powerful. And you know, and they say 80% of people that go to the doctor, they're gonna tell you it's stress related. You know. So most of the time when I've been sick, actually the last 10 or 15 years, one of the first things I do when I feel a cold or something going on, I'll do a very mental body scan where I really just go out of my way to start from the top of my head and just say relax, and I relax every part of my body. And at least, you know, I always feel at least, 80% better because of whatever's been being held in my body, I let go of that. And sometimes I'll take walks and things like that too, because it can be levels of tension that just need to be released that start turning into a stomach ache or a headache or something like that, because it's something that's being held in the body. We just need to let go of it.
You know what? And going back to Hawaii when I just came, the trip that I just came back from, and when I said I was very focused, and it may sound like I was very determined, but and that would have been ego driven. And what helps me out when I'm in a quote-unquote stressful situation, and I rarely ever am anymore, but if I feel like there's some stress coming on, but what I do is I just go from within my heart,
mm-hmm.
and that's what kept me going in Hawaii. I was following my heart, and I was listening to my heart, or heart-based
mm-hmm.
consciousness, instead of being
mm-hmm.
ego-driven, and everything flowed for me. You know, I got the support that I required. The right people came into in that moment that I desired to be there. So everything flowed. It's when I realized that I start functioning from quote-unquote ego, and I have to force things to happen, or I have to make things happen, then that's when it gets really stressful for me. And I'm not 100% perfect yet, but I've moved away from that kind of way of living, and that seems to have eliminated a lot of the stress in my life, living from a heart-based consciousness.
Mm-hmm. And if you look at masters or people who have really, walk their talk, that's all they always say that. I think of Wayne Dyer, and Wayne says that nowadays with his different stuff that he has. He has a brand new workshop that he just had recorded that he has out called The Shift. And that's what it's about. It's about him going to a place now where he's like, he studied the Tao for a year, and so he's just in this place of just allowing everything. I think one of the biggest things that we can learn is being able to surrender in every moment and allowing it to really show us what it is instead of trying to control it, like you're saying. If we can relax into that, just like with, I'm thinking something stressful. I think when things get stressful, it's a matter of something we're trying to control. What do you guys think of that?
Uh-huh. I agree, and that's resistance to the energy that needs to flow through you.
Yeah. It can even be like a fear or something, We're afraid of actually doing something. Kathy and I were talking about that before we got on, about she had gone to a brainstorming session this morning, and one lady was saying she was afraid of success. Success is stressful? Yeah, it can be very stressful. What do you think of that, Al?
Yeah, because with success comes a lot of responsibility, a higher level of responsibility than what your comfort level is at that moment.
Like being Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility.
Correct.
not knowing the other side when you jump over that building.
Go ahead.
I have a question for you guys because I got to get off here, but I would love to read something to you that I got today in my inbox. It'll take me about 2 to 3 minutes to read, but it's phenomenal. But it
has
nothing to do with stress.
Great.
I think you ladies will love it.
Okay.
You okay with that?
Yeah, I'm totally okay. Are you okay with that, Kath?
I'm okay with it.
Okay, here's the title of it. Here's the title. If you want to change the world, love a woman.
Oh, there you go. Well, you don't have to read any more than that.
This is like one of the most powerful things I've ever read. Now listen to this. This is going to take me a couple minutes.
Okay.
If you want to change the world, love a woman, really love her. Find the one who calls to your soul, who doesn't make sense. Throw away your checklist and put your ear to her heart and listen. Hear the names, the prayers, the songs of every living thing, every winged one, every furry and scaled one, every underground and underwater one, every green and flowering one, every not yet born and dying one. Hear the Malkinly praises back to the one who gave them life. If you haven't heard your own name yet, you haven't listened long enough. If your eyes aren't filled with tears, if you aren't bowing at her feet, you haven't ever grieved, having almost lost her. If you want to change the world, love a woman. One woman beyond yourself, beyond desire and reason, beyond your male preferences for youth, beauty, and variety, and all your superficial concepts of freedom. We have given ourselves so many choices, we have forgotten that true liberation comes from standing in the middle of the soul's fire and burning through our resistance to love. There is only one goddess. Look into her eyes and see, really see, if she is the one to bring the axe to your head. If not, walk away right now. Don't waste time trying. Know that your decision has nothing to do with her, because ultimately it's not with who, but when we choose to surrender. If we want to change the world, love a woman. Love her life beyond your fear of death, beyond your fear of being manipulated, by the mother inside your head. Don't tell her you're willing to die for her. Say you're willing to live with her. Plant trees with her and watch them grow. By her hero, by telling her how beautiful she is and her vulnerable majesty, by helping her to remember every day that she is a goddess through your adoration and devotion. If you want to change the world, love a woman. In all her faces, through all her seasons, she will heal you of your schizophrenia, your double-mindedness, and half-heartedness, which keeps your spirit and body separate, which keeps you alone and always looking outside yourself for something to make your life worth living. There will always be another woman. Soon the new shiny one will become the old dull one, and you will grow restless again. Trading in women like cars, trading in the goddess for the latest object of your desire. Man doesn't need any more choices. What man needs is woman. The way of the feminine, of patience and compassion. Non-seeking, non-doing, of breathing in one place and sinking deep, intertwining roots. Strong enough to hold the earth together while she shakes off the cement and steal from her skin. I still got two more paragraphs, guys, and I'm almost done. If you want to change the world, love a woman, just one woman, and love and protect her as she is the last holy vessel. Love her through her fear of abandonment, which she has been holding on for all humanity. No, the wound is not hers to heal alone. No, she is not weak in her codependence. If you want to change the world, love a woman all the way through until she believes you. Until her instincts, her visions, her voice, her art, her passion, her wildness have returned to her, until she is a force of love more powerful than all the political media demons who seek to devalue and destroy her. If you want to change the world, lay down your causes, your guns and protest signs. Lay down your inner war, your righteous anger, and love a woman. Beyond all your striving for greatness, beyond your tenacious quest for enlightenment, the Holy Grail stands before you. If you'd like to take her in your arms and let go of searching for something beyond this intimacy, what if peace is a dream which can only be remembered through the heart of a woman? What if a man's love for a woman, the way of the feminine, is the key to opening her heart? If you want to change the world, love a woman to the depths of your shadow, to the highest reaches of your being, back to the garden where you first met her, to the gateway of the rainbow realm, where you walked through together as light as one, to the point of no return, to the end, to the beginning of the new earth.
Oh, that was great, Al.
Thank you, Al. That was very wonderful. Mm. Well, you know,
I loved it.
To me that means love. To love a woman is to love the world, to love the earth.
Yeah. Exactly.
She's definitely a woman, yeah, definitely a woman. Mm-hmm.
So I thought I'd share with that with you ladies before I departed, and thank you for having me on your show.
Well, thanks for being able to jump on. We really appreciate that, Al.
Okay, and tell the waiter I waited for the dessert, but it was time for me to go.
Oh, okay. The dessert is here. The dessert just showed up.
Oh, well, you can have it. You can split it between the two of you.
Okay. Well, we'll get you a doggy bag. We'll get you a doggy bag after you get it, okay?
Yes.
I just got to hear the end of that, and thank you so much for sharing. I had some problems with my telephone. I wasn't able to get on and listen to you at the beginning, but I'm so glad that I got to hear the end of it.
Awesome. Well, thank you for being on. Well, thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on. And there's always room at the table for you. Whenever
right,
you want to come back,
you're
more than welcome.
Have a great evening, everybody.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. Bye, Al. Thank you. Well, Miss Gloria, how are you?
Hi. I am so happy to be here.
Well, we're happy you're here, too. Gosh, you just came in perfectly. Now that we're actually talking about the love of a woman, and here we go. So we were talking about stress, and Al had it was interesting because that what he was reading really just related to everything we've been talking about, huh, Kath?
Yeah,
it just went through the whole thing. It was just it was a nice little review and looking at it from the talking about the feminine and the power of the feminine perspective. So it was very, very cool. Yeah, very, very cool. So we were all asking each other how we deal with stress. So how do you deal with stress?
How do I deal with stress? I go to sleep. No.
Go to sleep. That's a good answer. Okay, if you're up and going and you can't go to sleep, what would be another option here?
Actually, the way that I deal with stress is to breathe, to pay attention to my breathing patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And paying attention to your breath. When you calm down your breath, you calm down not only the mental brainwave patterns, but you also calm down the physiology of your structure. You begin to measure the amount of oxygen that gets into the system, which helps to measure your heartbeat and your blood pressure. It just measures your entire physiology. And once your physiology is completely calmed down, then you're able to think more rationally and stress happens to leave the body. It has to.
Cool.
Yeah. And,
that sounds really good.
Yeah.
Oh, and Mr. Jamie's on now, too. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, I'm stressed out because I am late.
Okay. How do you deal with stress?
I usually take a deep breath and remind myself that things could be worse, I guess, you know.
Uh-huh.
Just try to think about what's happening and don't act rash, I guess.
Well, there you go. There you go. Yeah, we've had technical difficulties for stress for me tonight. And
uh-oh.
All kinds of stuff going on. Yeah, my cat earlier decided to, she wanted to be on the show, and I was like, no, they're not going to know.
Oh, boy.
That won't work out. So she unplugged the phone for me.
Uh-oh.
So I had to get my other phone going, so that's okay. That's all good. So here we go.
We have a caller.
That's usually our de-stressors for us. It's so good to have a pet around, To be after study shows that when people have pets in their lives, they actually help them to have a better quality, and they live longer when they have, they have little furry friends around,
Well, they are quite the,
Robin, we have a caller, code 2AO.
Oh, okay. Hi, caller.
Hi.
Who's it?
It's Sandra.
Hi, Sandra. How are you?
I'm good.
You're good. So, how do you deal with stress?
How do I deal with stress? I play with my animals.
You play with animals. She's the perfect person. Sandra lives in Honolulu, and I had gone to go visit her when we had gone to the expo, and she actually worked at a an aquarium.
You de-stress with the animals.
Yeah.
So animals, my cat or my birds.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought you went and played with your shark.
I don't have a shark, but if I did, I'd probably play with them. I don't know. Maybe.
She's sleeping with the sharks. Okay.
No, I work with the birds. So.
Oh, with the birds. Oh.
Yeah. Maka's my de-stressor. He's a booby bird, so I just give him a big hug whenever I'm stressed out.
Is he a red-footed booby?
Yep, red-footed booby. He's cutie.
I just discovered that the red-footed booby is my spirit animal guy.
No way!
Yeah.
Cool.
awesome.
I'll have to set you up with Maka. He can give you some advice.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah, Sandra actually helps rescue birds that really can't be out in the wild anymore. So she's got quite a few of them that live in the aquarium area. They basically have it so the kids come by with the school programs and things like that, so they actually can get up close and personal and be able to actually see the birds and, you know, in a fairly natural habitat, and they're well cared for there. And you know, she's
love them.
What percentage of birds do you actually have being able to put back out in the wild now, Sandra?
Well, about 85% of the birds we get go back out.
That's
I get
good.
Anywhere,
okay.
Yeah. Last year I got 400 birds.
Oh, my God. That's a lot of birds. Did you have any birds that winded up coming in from the tsunami the other day?
No, not a single one.
Not a single one. They're all like, no big deal. Okay.
We had one come in the day before the tsunami hit, so maybe he knew something was going on. But
yeah, that's so interesting how birds, you know, animals are so good about the kind of warning us ahead of time for things that can be stressful, like earthquakes and
yeah.
stuff like that.
No, yeah, we didn't get any from it, though.
Yeah.
So
That's cool.
Pretty uneventful.
So when you can't be around your birds, what else do you do to de-stress?
Maybe take a walk, go
okay,
walk in the park, or
mm-hmm.
be by myself for a while.
Yeah, be outside and quiet. Okay, cool.
Yay.
Cool. Well, thank you for coming on. We appreciate you coming and saying hi.
Yeah,
cool.
It was fun.
So for dessert tonight, we're going to be having, we have buttercream cupcakes. We have... a cherry cobbler, and we've got chocolate-covered strawberries. Which one would you like?
Sign me up for the cherry cobbler. I'm good with that.
The cherry cobbler. Okay, okay.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So save some of that for Sandra. She's wanting the cherry cobbler. Okay.
Good exit. I'll get it in a couple days. Cool.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we had to give a doggy bag. I don't know if you heard or not, if you were listening when Al was here, but we had to give him a doggy bag because he had to leave early. So.
I heard the tail end of his love a woman thing. So.
What did you think of that?
That was pretty neat. I only heard like
yeah.
the last couple paragraphs,
yeah.
but yeah, it was pretty neat.
Yeah,
so
I'll have
very
to ask
cool.
him to forward that to me so we can maybe have that on the website. That would be cool.
That would be very cool.
Yeah, we have our new website. It's developing as we speak, and it's transformation-cafe. And actually, if you want to go ahead and leave emails, we also have our email available now, and it's actually show@transformation-cafe. .com. So that's another way that
very
people
cool.
can get a hold of us. So it's very, very cool. Yeah. So we're slowly expanding our show. We're slowly making you know, all the technology that's available out there. We'll be having our Facebook up and going and looking to be expanding our fans. So that's real cool.
Awesome. Well, you guys enjoy the rest of your show. I'm gonna peace out.
Okay. Thanks,
bye.
Okay. Bye bye.
Bye. Thanks for having me. Bye.
Okay, we got guests in the house. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Uh-huh.
So,
anybody
else have anything they want to comment about stress or anything they want to big? Because we kind of knew that was going to be on the main menu tonight. So, wondering if any of you guys have any other insights or things you wanted to say on a perspective about that.
Oh well, I'll laying in bed at 4 o'clock in the morning and getting jerked from the earthquake. That was a little stressful. The thought of
where was the epicenter on that this morning?
Pico Rivera.
It was like a was it a 4.8 or something like that?
Yeah, 4.4 I think.
Oh, 4.4. Okay. We don't want to make it any bigger than it needs to be. Okay, that's good. Okay, so it was a 4.4. So out where I live, which is about 60 miles from where for Kath is. Didn't really feel it, so, you know, of course it was
really?
4 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, didn't really feel it, so that's kind of an interesting thing. So
right.
That was interesting, yeah. So,
that's
you know, Gloria. Yeah, that's... Go ahead.
Gloria, you didn't feel it at all, did you?
What?
You didn't feel the earthquake this morning, did you?
No.
Okay. Yeah.
No, I was just visualizing though, based on the map that we were talking about last time.
Yeah.
And I had a conversation with Robin about creating the triangles and looking at the the sacred geometry,
uh-huh,
based on it being configured around the planet. And I think that we had come up with them being, with the three earthquakes being on one side of the Earth and then three earthquakes being on the other side of the Earth, creating reverse, almost like an isosceles triangle.
Uh-huh.
And looking at where that is actually supporting each other on either side of the planet, and we were looking at and considering the evolution of the Earth. And if you were to look at the shift of the Earth almost being like utilizing the ovaries,
mm-hmm,
from a female, mm-hmm, perspective,
uh-huh,
and then the passing of the egg, you know, with the shift of the planet. And so where that would, you know, I've just mentally, I was in the dynamics when you asked that question, so.
Wow, she was deep in thought. Okay, there you go. Yeah, for people who are checking in, last year we were talking about a special vortex that was developed back in the 1970s. And if anybody likes more information on that, just go ahead and email us at the show at transformation-cafe. We'll be more than happy to forward on that website address. And it's pretty interesting because it actually is a global, vortex pattern of all different kinds of triangles on the planet that are about 200 miles on both sides of the equator. So it's like the Bermuda Triangle. There's one of the Devil's Triangle, which is over near Japan, and just all these different energy centers that are just these whirlwinds of extra activity and stuff that they're calling vortexes that are, you know, located around the equator. So it's really, really interesting when you look at it from a lot of different levels and looking at how science is describing a lot of this different stuff. And it's still, to me, it's almost like, you know, and here you're talking about kind of the birthing and looking at, you know, the, like a macro level of using the woman as a metaphor for the ovaries and things like that. And I'd heard the other day too, I was just like like a spinal adjustment, like with a chiropractor when it comes to all these earthquakes, who just basically all the vertebrae are getting adjusted. So there you go. So in alignment with, if you look at the vortexes and have that be kind of a line of a spine and having it being, you know, the different vertebrae are being adjusted. So it's kind of an interesting perspective to take a look at that and see what that is. So that's all cool.
I wonder what would happen if we looked at the acupuncture aspects and looked at the...
Oh,
the
there you go. Yeah, looking at meridian level as opposed to just the, with the vertebrae on that kind of
right.
a level for stuff, with like the ring of fire being a vertebrae and kind of going to the meridians and looking at that. So, yeah, that's another level that we can look at it. We also wanted to, we've got about 15 minutes left on the show, so we were going to do a little bit on leftovers. And when the tsunami came, which is interesting, since Sandra called, she was actually the one I was speaking to when the tsunami was going to be hitting in Honolulu, and ended up praying with her and really asking that it dissipate, which it actually did, which was wonderful. There was another warning that they had over in Japan. And in Japan, I actually learned this from my with Sandra's roommate. She was telling me about it the other day when I was visiting with her. But in Japan, they knew about the tsunami. They went ahead and had the warnings going off because they have like an alarm. And the government officials who decided to go ahead and warn everybody got shamed because they found out that the tsunami was only, if they wound up having like 2 to 4 inches of flooding that came to the inland areas right off the ocean, but it didn't really create any kind of tsunami. So they were shaming them because it was almost like, you know, crying wolf when it really didn't happen. So I was kind of shocked by that because I thought, well, gosh, isn't it better to warn the people and have it not really turn into anything than to not warn them at all? So I thought, well, you know, we could talk about that and see what you guys felt about that.
Well, you know, when you look at the cultural history of all of the different pockets of culture around the world, the Oriental customs of not shaming or the sense of, I've forgotten the term, and I feel badly about that. The idea of shame was something that would be passed on from parent to child. And so, mm-hmm. Saving face, that's the phrase. And the idea of saving face was just so huge. And I see that it's slowly diminishing with the evolution mm-hmm. of cultures and the integration of them. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have the exploration and the almost idolization of things like the 50s, they would have sock hops and they would have the older cars in Japan. Mm-hmm. And we have the generations that are coming over to the U.S. and going to Europe and getting outside of the country. They have been accelerating that evolutionary process because they bring these things home with them, and then they're not passing. They're beginning to question their history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were actually kind of just thinking about that the other day, and Gloria had mentioned with the Olympics how there was a snowboarder that got the country he was going to be representing didn't want him to compete because they felt that he wasn't going to be representing their country the way they wanted him to. And that's basically just through the way he looked. He had some dreadlocks, and he was dressed very much like he had been training in Canada. And so the way he looked and all that was not how they wanted their country to be represented. So that's kind of an interesting sideline, too, of just like, you know, like you're saying, saving face and having their country being portrayed in a certain way. It's real interesting.
Yeah. Well, his shirt tail was out. He was wearing the dreadlocks. And if I remember correctly, he had his pants down around his hips.
Okay.
You know, so that was the entire country was embarrassed. It was on the news. It was reported in the newspaper, and it was just projected widely.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really quite interesting because of the influence of living out of the country
mm-hmm.
and then not being respectful enough to his elders
mm-hmm.
in their vision. And so it just affronted every single person from that country.
Mm-hmm. Jamie, had you heard of that? Had you heard that story?
I thought he was... After the competition, his particular one, I had heard that they were having a little too much fun and took some sort of crazy photos, and then those got out on the Internet. But that's what I heard.
Well, I saw the article on AOL.
Something to that effect.
And pursued it, and it was, I thought, and my understanding was that they basically told him he couldn't compete.
I thought maybe we're thinking about two different, anyway.
No, it's interesting.
Oh.
Sandra, are you back? Hi.
Hey, do we have another caller?
Yes, we have another caller.
Hi, caller. Who's here?
Is that Sandra? Is that Sandra? Hi, Sandra. With area code, we lost the caller.
Oh, okay. Maybe they thought they were. We thought they were on, but yet they didn't have a good connection. I bet you that's probably what happened. it's kind of going back into the Olympics again. You know, when they had the women's Canadian team win, and you know, after they got their awards and all that stuff, a few of the girls were hanging out on the ice and having a drinking cigar party. You know?
Right, I heard about that. That was a little disrespectful,
and, you know,
wasn't it?
They never would have known that if some of the reporters hadn't hung back and they were just kind of watching them. And then the girls were just enjoying their victory, you know.
True.
And they beat them, you know. Yeah, they were just enjoying their victory. So they worked really hard, and you know, I mean, think of all the hours and time and being able to be, you know, accomplish something like that. So, you know, It kind of goes into the levels of journalism and to say, you know, is this journalism or gossip? I mean, what are we really looking at here? You know, it's just, I don't know. It's just a certain level of...
And that addresses another aspect of the paparazzi that are getting involved in the tabloids and how they're really changing the way we see the people who will be hooked up to the, I don't want to say the ethics, but they look to the future leaders, and they're not creating any leaders.
Mm-hmm.
They're
mm-hmm.
actually tearing down who people have, the heroes that people have to look up to. The younger people are not finding heroes based upon the way that they are reporting the reality instead of just addressing their accomplishments and what they've achieved.
Now, I was listening to Wayne Dyer. He's got a new program out called The Shift. And it's actually a workshop that he put together that he was teaching in Maui that he went ahead and had recorded that just came out. And one of the things he was saying that about Barack Obama and how he was so happy to see him being, you know, getting, you know, for a Nobel Prize. And just for the fact that he was, you know,
telling the world that, you know, we seek to be in peace with all of you. We seek to work in a place of communication with each other. We're no longer going to consider each other enemies. You know, and Wayne went on to talk about how in the Tao it says you should never have anyone labeled an enemy, because you're making an enemy within yourself when you do that.
Hmm.
So it was really profound in the way that he was talking about that. And he said that Barack, when he was, I believe he was a sophomore in college, he had written a paper on getting rid of all the nuclear bombs. And it's one of the passions of Barack is to, you know, that's one of the things one of his dreams is to just have it. We just no longer have that as a threat on the planet. So, you know, he's really a man of large vision. And, you know, can he accomplish it? I sure hope so. I know he's moving us in the right direction just for the fact that he has that passion. And, you know, it takes a long time to move a large ship. It's kind of like trying to move, a big cruise ship instead of a speedboat. It takes a long time. And you don't feel like you're making a lot of progress, but you've got to look back behind the boat and see the wake of the boat and know that you are moving. And sometimes you just can't tell. So.
Well, that's a really good way of putting it.
Yeah, yeah. So you just have to, you know. They said that, too. I remember that one time we were kind of going back into stress, and I had read someplace where sailors, when they were out at sea, and yet they were like, say, you know, they had taken off from one shore, and they knew they were like maybe halfway to another island or something, and they knew they were going the right direction, but they couldn't see the land yet, and some of them would get anxious, or, you know, there'd be like seasickness or something like that. They would always tell them to look at where the boat was moving through the water, because that way they knew they were moving forward, and they would no longer be sick. They would have a sense of accomplishment, knowing that they were moving and that they could move past whatever emotionally was happening within them. So I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just kind of it's a good visual, you know, when you think, I feel like I'm dead in the water, you know. It's like, you just start looking at the things around your life, you know, it seems like, oh, the economy's not going anywhere. We're not making any kind of progress. Well, just like, look, I know for me, look, I've been really kind of watching, you know, local stores are getting busy, or people seem to be out, you know, doing things. You know, it's not so quiet. People are, you know, willing to, you know, use some of their discretionary income a little more freely than they were before. So things are getting better. It's very subtle, you know, but you can see the difference on things like that. You know, just in knowing that, you know, there is activity and people are willing to, you know, have life come back to a level of normalcy. It may be a little different than what we would have said normal was before, but it's definitely moving in the right direction. So anybody want to comment on that? Jamie, have you seen
the idea of that winter is not past? Yes, that we've made it through the tougher time and the good time in winter, and now there's springtime is around the corner. I have a better feeling about things.
So in Seattle, are the flowers starting to bloom on the trees? Can you actually see them?
They
start to come? And
all the blooms happened about a month ago when there was some stretch of really nice weather. So most of the trees have bloomed, and now the grass is going to bloom. So anybody with allergies and like
so the economy is going to be growing with people going to get their allergy medicine. There we go. Okay. funding the needed allergies. Okay, that's good. I know, like here in California, we have been blessed with we actually kind of have a reverse situation happening. Hawaii is actually getting El Niños, which for California is these really warm winds that normally get put through us, and it really diminishes the amount of rain we can get. And actually, Hawaii's been getting it, and we've been getting more of the Hawaiian storms. So, you know, when it comes to monsoons and these downpours, we've definitely been getting a lot more just torrential rain sometimes. But the hills and the trees and everything this year have just been so glorious. Oh, my gosh. It's just been so green. Kathy and I were talking about that the other day when we were driving over just all the foothills and things like that in California. It's just so beautiful right now. A lot of spring flowers and stuff are out. And it's just a wonderful time to be out there enjoying all the flowers and just being outdoors. It's just beautiful.
Well, you know, I've been really surprised with the economy every time I go out, and I don't know if it's because I end up in these areas. I went to a shopping mall, and it was supposed to be at the height of all of this financial strife, and it was packed with people. It was packed with people.
And it was the younger groups of people, though, and what I was seeing, I was thinking about the demographics and the economics of the student bodies, because there's a large college base down here. Not only do you have UCSD, but you also have California State University and then a myriad of other smaller colleges. And so there's a lot of people that seem to be very active being out and about. You go into downtown San Diego, and there's an area that has been renovated, and there's a lot of coffee houses and little places that are side places. I went into a theater that was renovated, that had been reconditioned, and it was just a small little auditorium-looking building, and they had seats, theater seats on all sides and folding seats on the other. It was just packed.
So they were saying that theaters are actually having a really successful year. Yeah, they're saying this last year for the movies has been, you know, just really, really doing well. Well, you know, you look back in the Depression and when things are not necessarily going so well in the economy, it seems like people want to go to the movies. It's a way of escape and a way of kind of looking at things to kind of get your mind off your troubles for a little while. So people who have been investing in movies and things like that. So that's a good thing, I think. You know, it's helping the economy and doing what it needs to do. And that's one thing we're all doing.
Now, it is 9:56.
It's 9:56. Okay. Just real quick, my sister got involved last year with the programs that Barack was doing of really funding a lot of the money to get it into the economy with the youth. And they're still planning on doing that. There's going to be another level of that money coming out. So I think that's part of what we're seeing, too, is the money starting to, you know, come into the different communities and having that being affected. So that's really a cool thing. So was there we had one more thing. Stacy had talked about last week how if you love your traffic or you're loving where you are, that things will open up and you'll have everything's easier and going with flow. Kind of want to review real quick with any of you guys and see if you had anything real quick about wanting to say, yeah, I loved it, and you know, things just opened up for me. Did anybody have that happen?
I have played with – I'm sorry, go on.
No, I just laughed because it was so quiet.
I had played with it several months ago when she introduced it to me, and the perspective that I received from that was along the lines of receiving versus projecting who you are out. And when you are more available to receive, it tends to give everything a different light based on how you're allowing the light to come in instead of projecting what you think you're going to see. So it may
be a lot of it's just our, you know, I'm willing to change my perspective. Everything does change. It's just like when we change, everything around us has to change. It's just kind of just a lot, one of the laws of the universe. You know, perspectives change and we change.
Right.
So that's cool. So change is a good thing. That's another good thing about when it comes to accepting stress, recognizing that, you know, the only thing you can rely on is change. And that actually can be a good thing and have it, you know, enhancing your life and making it, a good thing for you. So there you go. Okay, guys, well, thanks for visiting. Make sure you take your dessert because, like, we didn't have time to check it out when we were here. So grab a cupcake or a chocolate-covered strawberry.
I want a cupcake, please.
Okay, take a cupcake. All right.
All right.
I think we're going to have a show. We're going to be talking about innovations, new innovations that are coming on to the local scene. That ought to be a fun thing.
Sounds good.
Okay, guys, thanks for calling.
All right, take care.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.